Two things I look forward to on the mornings that I get up for the Father's Forum here at Northwest Bible. One is I look forward to that cookie. And I also look forward to Bill telling us not to crunch the wrapper around the cookie. Thanks so much for showing up today. Bill was a little concerned about how light the attendance is, and I was curious if maybe it's abiding father's fatigue. You know, we had a fundraiser not even a week ago, well attended. It was 240 people. Is that correct? Ish. Close to that. Well, we'll just say that. But anyway, thanks for being faithful. Thanks for showing up and getting that wonderful sandwich. Thank you for bringing those sandwiches, Mike. It's my pleasure today to welcome Sam Flores. I met Sam 12 years ago when I just graduated from my MBA program and I had all this time. I didn't have a kid yet. And my wife said, why don't you go and mentor down at Mercy Street? I didn't know anything about Mercy Street. I just knew that some people had shown up to Watermark and talked about Mercy Street. And I started years of being close to Sam and some other people there in Little League and mentoring. And then Sam goes off and does other things. Like, graduated from Highland Park in 96, so we're the same age. I didn't graduate from Highland Park. It was a little high school in the middle of nowhere. But Highland Park, 1996, goes off to Centenary College in Louisiana. He's been married to Sarah for, he had to think about it, 12 years. Two lovely daughters. Here's something I didn't know about until today. Sam went off to Costa Rica for 2 years, or closer to three, I guess. The Spanish Institute there. And I started asking him, I said, well, how long has this place been around? He said, like 78 years. A lot of people, missionaries go there. It's like, my granddad in 1950-ish went to this same place to learn Spanish to go be a missionary in Argentina. So it's kind of like it comes full circle. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let Sam come up and talk about fatherhood. Thank you. Let's bring a big round of applause for Sam.
It's amazing again. Thank you, Sebastian. And thank you, Bill, so much for inviting me to share. It is truly fun to see again how the Lord brings things together. And it's so fun to see so many familiar faces and just friends. So I'm so thankful for you all. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. Well, in order to start off, I thought it'd be only appropriate, and I hope most people would consider doing this when they're able to share, is that, you know, to be a dad, you got to have dad jokes. So I've got two, I think they're funny jokes, but they're terribly dad jokes, all right? So I think they're appropriate for this one. All right. Did you remember, some of you guys, Bill, you may remember this, air used to be free at the gas station. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Now it's like $1.50. Do you know why it's $1.50? Inflation. Come on. Hey, there you go. All right, there you go. Bad word. I'm sorry. All right, here's the second joke, and I could keep going, but I'm limiting myself to two. When does a joke become a dad joke? Come on, when it becomes apparent. Okay, all right, I'll stop. We should probably pray again just to recenter ourselves. But, you know, it's fun, again, to be able to be a dad. And it's also very hard. And as Sebastian said, there may be even fatigue, you know, in this journey. But we also serve a God that never grows tired and never grows weary, and it's always with us. And I hope that as you hear my part of the story and what I share, the thing that you would remember, that we are deeply, deeply loved by a God that will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So let me just quiet my heart if we can just pray again. Father, we thank you so much. For you are a God, you are our Father, and you love us deeply, and you love me deeply, and help us to never, ever forget that. May the words that I share, Father, just be the joy that you've given me and the stories that I share, Father, would be able to just a reminder of your goodness, even in the hard times. It's your gracious name we pray. Amen. So we're going to do a couple things here in this time. We'll talk about my father, my earthly father. We're going to talk about being a father. And then we're going to talk about our heavenly father, those three things here this morning. I'm going to start off by sharing one of the things that, you know, often with either been coached or shared is, again, what is your life first? And one of the things as I was preparing for this, it allowed me to do so many exciting things. And one of them is just remember the importance of Scripture, the importance of communicating first directly with our Lord, so then I could then connect with my father, and then for being a father, our girls. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And as you see here, I feel like that's been a thread. I've seen that in my father's life, in my life, and just praying that over my girls and in their life. So a little bit of backstory. I think we have a couple of pictures. One is of my dad. Let's see if we can put my dad up there first. I think I changed. Oh, there's my dad. So my dad is definitely, he's Sam. Samuel, and my dad became a father May 22nd, 1977. So I'm the oldest boy, so that's when my dad Sam here became a father. I think Bill, he's 82 years old, and so he married my mom Hilda. I'll show you a picture here in a little bit. So I was the first boy. Fun fact, my dad was the youngest boy of nine, a family of nine. There were five boys and four sisters. Of the five boys, or men, their first children were boys. And they named their sons after themselves. Now, anybody in here a junior? Or named after their father. Okay. I am not a junior. Okay, he is a junior. The second. Okay, there you go. Well, what I later found, or third, that's right, Trey. To be a junior, you have to have the first, middle, and last name. Well, I've got the first name, I've got a different middle name, and I got the same last name. But on his side of the family, they would still call me Junior anyway. So Sam Junior. My dad was the youngest of five boys. My father was born in Villacuña, Mexico. It was a border town. And he was born in 53. When he was young, his family moved to San Antonio, Texas. When he was 6 years old, around the first grade is when they moved here to Texas. At the age of 38, he met my mom through church. He always jokes around. He said, you know, I was really a lot smarter than I give myself credit, because that's where I got to meet, you know, your mama. And it was at church, because that's where the girls would be. So he went where the girls were. And so he and my mom met there at a Presbyterian church in San Antonio. And they, after dating for a few years, they got married. I was born there in San Antonio and then later moved to Dallas. It's important, again, as I look back and reflect, this really was another sweet time. And my wife, she was able to hear our conversation that I had with my dad as he was able to reflect. And I was asking him questions. Dad, tell me about the relationship, what that was like with your father. And if your father is still around, or if you're a father, obviously, yourself, and depending on where the stage of life that you're in, I would continue to encourage you today just to ask those questions while you can, when you can, with your father. I think there's something special, even though it may be the same story, or may change just a little bit, how sweet it is to be able to have those conversations. And they look different now in my stage of life than they did even a few years ago. So it's really sweet to be able to talk about some of these things again. A lot of them I already knew, but I wanted him to tell me those things again. And so we were able to have this interview conversation. And my dad's mother passed away when he was in ninth grade. Again, it was a large family back in the 50s and 60s. And so he was closest to his mother. And that really, really was hard on him. And so because of that, after that ninth grade, a few years later, at the age of 18, he was drafted into the Army. And he served a couple years in the Army. After returning back, being in the Army, he was the youngest son. His four older brothers all were in the military, which is something I'm so thankful for. Two were in the Army, one was in the Navy, and then two served in the Air Force. My dad, when he returned back home, he didn't really want to be in the house where his mother had passed away. So he did, again, he enrolled, he went off, he came back after serving, he lived back at home, where he went to night school and then college and got his associate degree. His family, when I asked Dad, what was that relationship like, you know, being the youngest? He said his dad was always very strict, again, growing up in a large family, and then coming, all he knew was his dad was really working to provide for really 11 mouths to feed, his father's, his mom's, and then the nine other siblings. And so being the youngest too, he really was closest a lot to his brothers or even sisters, and so they're in closest to age there. He didn't really have a strong relationship with his dad, oftentimes again, because his dad was always working just to provide. It wasn't until a few years after he'd returned back from serving that he and his sister and his dad were in a car wreck where his dad died in that car wreck. And then his sister, again, the impact they had really was a tragic and devastating thing. So he lost his mom at a young age. And then a few years later, after returning, he had lost his dad in that same car wreck that he was in. And still to this day, he's never really fully recovered from that car wreck at a young age. While they're in San Antonio, again, my mom and him met. He grew up in the church, he said. His dad always insisted that they would go to church. He said at a young age, around 12 years old, is when he had, you know, a confession of faith. And he remembers that age, which is awesome. It's exciting to know. And again, once again, hear that he knows our Heavenly Father. And so that's the most encouraging thing, that I can just rest my head knowing that, you know, that's between him and the Lord. But I know that my earthly father knows our Heavenly Father. He said that, you know, as a family, they were very, the Hispanic family was, again, one that they were always with their aunts and uncles and cousins. It truly was a family ordeal when it came to raising their kids and so many kids around them. So that's how they grew up. And, you know, unfortunately, he wasn't able to really tell a lot of the fun things that he did with the father because he didn't really, one, he lost him at a younger age. But two, again, he just didn't really have that kind of relationship. Fast forward to after my mom meets again, which is opposite of my mom's relationship with her father. Her father, I got to know my grandpa and my grandmother. We got to grow up with them. And it was a unique dynamic of seeing my mom's relationship with her family, again, very family-oriented, her relationship with her father, and then my dad really not having parents growing up most of his adolescent life. And he said he kind of grew up on his own. He had to learn and grow up on the streets, really. And if it weren't for the church, and if it weren't for loving grandparents like my mom's parents, who are both in heaven, I'm not sure if I would ever be here. But it is true, God's grace, again, as I said before, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I have to understand a little bit more, and it was only till when I, over the years, and Sebastian had mentioned this, me going to Costa Rica, of understanding my dad's story. And I think for me, growing up, I did something that I, in my mind, have been able to just ask for forgiveness for my father and our Heavenly Father, is to really, I put too much pressure and I had unrealistic expectations for my earthly father in ways that, as Sebastian said, we, after my parents were married, that next year we moved, my aunt and uncle, they had moved to Dallas, and they said, hey, guys, Sam, Hilda, why don't you guys come to Dallas, too? There's a lot of opportunity in Dallas. It was growing. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. And so my parents, in faith, came. We moved to Dallas. We moved in with my aunt and uncle. And my dad, as he was looking for jobs, they saw an article in the paper for a custodian job. He did not know what that was, but he knew he needed to provide for his family. It was at that time that he applied, and he was, for 2 years, he served at the Highland Park Independent School District as a head custodian there at the administration building. From then, the Lord opened the door. If for those of y'all that are familiar with the Highland Park Village, at one time, there was a little house next to Bradfield Elementary School on Mockingbird and Douglas. At that time, the then principal really... If you know my dad and have had the opportunity to meet him, he doesn't know a stranger. And it was really sweet to see the Lord open that door. And for 20 years, the Lord provided a home for us in the Park Cities, on the property there next to Bradfield Elementary on one side and the Highland Park Village on the other side. So that's how we got to grow up in the Park Cities. And it was there that I grew up from first grade all the way through high school, and then went to college. And it was in that upbringing that takes us, well, why did you go to Costa Rica, is where, for me, in my relationship with my parents and relationships with others, that I really had more of an understanding of what it truly means to be loved and to know, again, that the Lord has plans for us. My dad was working there on the campus there of the elementary school. He was basically 24/7 as a custodian and being on site. The only other people that had beepers, I felt like, were doctors and then my dad. But he wasn't getting paid like the other doctors or other employees back then. I was like, and he often said, you know what, beepers, you may think can be cool, but they're always going to be able to be in touch with you. And when I was going back to what I was sharing there, is that the expectations, I always compared myself and my dad to other people. I had a huge identity crisis growing up in the Park Cities. Much like here in this environment today, I was in a position myself to not truly understand, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me? What do you want me to grow? How, and being in this environment, or even why have you put us in this environment? Oftentimes, I found myself wanting to retreat to other people's homes because I felt like they didn't have the issues that we had, or their father provided for them in ways that my dad didn't provide. And that was, for me, in a way, a lot of the lies from the enemy, because there's no other person that could have ever provided like only my dad could. And the Lord knew that. Once again, for he knew the plans he had for me, declares the Lord's plans to prosper me and not to harm me, and plans to give me hope and a future. And it was as I've been able to reflect back in my dad's story, and then you know, our relation and his relationship with his dad, I've always wanted to say, Dad, what did it look like? What would it look like to not to take the good for my dad, but also know that those expectations that I have for him and for myself, and then also being a dad, what that might look like today. Well, I became a father. If you go to the next slide, it was me and the girls. We have, yes, I've, this is our, there's my wife, Sarah, and our two girls, Eva and Lucia. I got married in 2009, so this Saturday will be our 12th anniversary, which we're excited about. And so I became a father 10 years ago with Eva. And one of the things that this allowed me to do is to have the exercise, too, is, you know, what does it look like to be a dad? And so I asked my girls that question. I'm not sure if you've ever asked your kids, you know, what do they think of daddy? I think you should ask them that. That's important, and that's important for me to hear. So I was asking Eva, she's our oldest. I said, when you think of daddy, what do you think? And she said, well, funny, creative, playful, nice, and generous. I was like, wow, those are wonderful things. And I said, now how can daddy improve my relationship with you? And she said, well, Dad, I think you can be, if you could be more understanding, you can see, if you would be able to see both sides of the story, and that's in hers and her sister's, oftentimes, as siblings do, they get into fights, that I would hear her out, that I would not jump to conclusions, or that I would not be so strict about everything. And that she said that you wouldn't be so embarrassing to me. So you always got to ask the good and the right. And so that's Eva. She's the oldest. And Lucia, she's a lot more like daddy, more emotional and funnier. So I said, Lucia, sweetie, what do you think of daddy? What do you think of when you think of daddy? She said, Daddy, I think you're funny. I think you're dramatic. I think you can be loving and kind. You think you'd be giving, and then that you believe in me. And I was like, man, those are just wonderful words to be able to hear. And then I said, well, sweetie, how can daddy improve the relationship with you? Well, and again, same thing, not getting angry so quickly. Don't be so quick to jump to conclusions and stop yelling. And then also stop locking us in our room. So again, is this being recorded? Okay. There are definitely things that again, the highs and the lows, right? And our kids are a thermometer to the things that they see, the things that they do are very, very important. And again, as I look back at my relationship with my father, and I've looked back as hearing his story with the relationship with his father, there's a lot of things that, again, I want to make sure that, hey, what am I doing well? What are those things I need to work on, right? And what are those expectations that the girls have of me, that I have of them, that I have in relationships with my parents, but also with our Heavenly Father? And the Lord does this in a way that only He can. And here's some amazing Bible verses that I want to share with you all. Again, as you look at being a father yourself, as you look at your kids that may be fathers, as you are able to, just reminded of a few verses. The first one here is 1 John 3:16. His love is sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this to give us new life so that we could spend eternity with him. And so one of the most important things is I reflect back at the things that my earthly father did is he sacrificed. He worked in a way that only he could, in a way that he was able to provide, that no other father could. But it's our Heavenly Father that provides and fills in that gap, and that not only here on earth, but for eternity, as he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, the ultimate sacrifice. So as I look back at my father's love, as I hope that I continue to love and with the girls again, that they would see a sacrificial love. As fathers, we should desire to be a reflection. We should desire to be a mirror of ultimately not other dads, as I often compared, not of anyone here on earth, but as Christians, as our Heavenly Father. And he gives us that through his word and his unconditional love and sacrifice. Two is that in 1 John 3:1 that we are called his children. Again, for me, just the identity first should be in that, but often it's quick to say, you know, what are you doing now? Where do you live? Or where did you grow up? Or who do you know? Or who do you not know? I think for me, that struggle was so big that, again, it literally, the Lord pulled us out. And one of the main reasons why we went to Costa Rica was that. Growing up, again, in the Park Cities, there are so many wonderful things, but also things, too, that we and me specifically dealt with. And being 40 years old in the Lord's timing, after seeking counsel, a lady that had counseled me and my wife, she said, "Sam, I want to tell you three things. Take it for what it's worth." She goes, "Sam, if you," this was a few years back before we went to Costa Rica. She said, "Sam, there's been something in your heart that's been, Lord, stirring. I'm not sure what it is, but you really need to be intentionally looking into that." And she goes, "Sam, I want to give you some advice." She goes, "One, if you ever felt like you wanted to go work for another nonprofit, you should have the freedom to know that you can. You don't have to feel like you have to be like your dad and work at the same place, and then that's it." She goes, "You could do that." Two, before I was in Mercy Street, and that really how I got to know Bill, was in real estate. She goes, "Sam, if you ever wanted to go back in for-profit in real estate, go do that. If you want to make a ton of money for the glory of God, awesome. There's no shame in that." She goes, but three, what is the one thing that you've always wanted to do? She goes, "You need to go do that." And for me, was to embrace who I really was, a male Hispanic man growing up in the Park Cities. And for me, that was to learn Spanish. I chose not to learn or want to really associate anything with my Hispanic culture. Why? Because growing up, all I saw is the Hispanics that were in the Park Cities were the landscapers, the maids, or the janitors. And I think that's still kind of the case today. There's not many minorities still, or even, as you know, I never saw really any male Hispanic role models in my life that were not, you know, live in the Park Cities that weren't doing those things. And so for me, I pushed that away. In high school, I chose not to take Spanish. I actually took German in Spanish. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, what is a Hispanic dude trying to learn German here in Highland Park? Yo sprechen Sie Deutsch. That led us to Costa Rica, where I was able to really learn not just Spanish, because it's never what you go for, but truly reminded of Christ's love for me and who he created me to be. And that's the thing I get to share with my girls, too, that their first identity is that they're in Christ and Christ alone. We are called his children. And that the Lord, Matthew 7:9-11, he gives us good gifts. And again, you'll see a picture I have of me and my brothers up here. Can we get to that picture of my brothers?
Let's see.
Yes. So he does give us good gifts. Again, being able to be the oldest, two younger brothers that went the opposite direction of me, which is great, and the things that they did. Again, having loving parents that are still alive today. That's my mom and dad. And we're looking forward to just being able to recount those good gifts that the Lord has given us, even amongst the struggles. I'm thankful again that the Lord never leaves us alone, that he has given us the Holy Spirit that is here with us. As a father, there's a couple things I wanted to share with you before I close up here.
to be reminded of, is that to advise to you guys is to know the truth. I think for me growing up, I was involved in the church, whether it's Highland Park Presbyterian Church growing up, and then later Park City's Presbyterian Church. It's one thing just to go in the church and to hear the church, but also to know what the truth is. And that's being intentional in our scripture reading, memorization, and also having men like that encouraging us to know the truth, to go back to the truth. Then we, not only to know the truth, but also as we seek the truth, that he gives us all the tools, and obviously through his word, and also through the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is that we need to speak the truth. So we got to know the truth, seek the truth, and then speak the truth. And I think the most important thing that we can continue to do, even in this season, that I would continue to encourage my dad through the scriptures of thanking him for doing the best that he could with what he had when he could. And it was really sweet to hear him as he was sharing with me, Dad, I'm proud of you and I'm thankful for you. I think as fathers, we need to continue to encourage our kids, no matter what season that they're in, and to encourage your father, if they're still around, to say, Dad, thank you for being who you are. I think that is so important, and it was sweet for me, and I thank you again, Bill and Sebastian, for allowing me the opportunity to have that conversation with my girls and with my dad, and I pray that that will continue. So again, we have a duty and a calling to love our families. We are not alone in this journey. We are called to spur one another on, and that we have a loving Heavenly Father who knows the plans for each one of you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and then plans to give you hope and a future, not only for the short term, but for eternity. Amen? Amen.